valid point.
Okay, so I know you miss distortion, right?
Oh, the Mountain Dew flavor, yeah.
Yes, there is a new approximation similar to it out there.
Por qué?
You know, the Rockstar energy drinks?
I've heard of them. I've never had any.
Well, there's a new one called Lime Freeze that tastes basically exactly like a melted lime Freezy Pop.
Ooh, I like those.
Yes.
And it's carbonated?
Lightly carbonated, but yes, it is carbonated. Oh. So, be on the lookout. You might like it.
I guess light is better than nothing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's white color and not that delicious, awful green.
I can get a piss green.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Paladin,
what?
If your urine comes out that color, because like Mountain Dew, normal Mountain Dew, just regular flavor, that's the color your urine should be if it's a color at all.
And really, your urine should be clear. If it's coming out yellow, you're not drinking enough water.
Well, I mean, it should be clear regardless of what color it is. But to Mickey's actual point, it should be colorless, ideally, but like... Yeah.
Sometimes, though, if you take vitamins, it can,
Yes, it can.
Yeah. Or certain medicines.
We used to keep small birds as pets, and we'd have to put vitamins in their water, and I'm telling you, one of the things we had to give them every, like, month or two was the color and approximate smell of urine also. Poor birds. Probably what killed them. No, but Paladin, if your urine comes out and it's the color of Mountain Dew distortion, go see a doctor. And possibly move out of Detroit.
Yeah, priorities.
Well, which one's the priority, Detroit or the doctor?
I don't really know.
So if Legacy Tiger's Roar comes down to, like, say 50 maybe, would you get it?
Probably not.
Not without something designed for it, I assume.
Well, I mean, I've already got Tiger Zord and, you know, the whole Thunder Zords. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, eh.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't like buying duplicate reissues of things just to have a different version of the same one.
Mm-hmm. What about
especially
Saba,
when
then?
It's expensive.
What about Saba, then?
No interest.
But it talks.
Of course. I said that about the Dragon Dagger, too, and I ended up buying it, so...
On the other hand, that Dragon Dagger is really damn nice.
Yeah, it is. I saw it in the store. I was like, oh, shit, I don't have any choice. I have to buy this. This is beautiful.
I mean, it's not like Saba was ever that impressive of a thing.
Yeah.
In any terms.
But the Dragon all Dagger that metal always had and the gold on the Dragon Dagger, it's
yeah,
stunning
the,
to look
yeah, the
at.
Dragon Dagger always had a level of coolness around it. Saba's just, well, this is a sword and it's got a tiger head at the butt.
Saba is kind of British, basically. That's kind of where it ends.
No, that's just Tony Oliver doing an indistinct accent.
That's why I say kind of. Mm. Maybe. Sort of. Possibly European of some sort.
I think it's more just like, you know, high class.
What if European is green?
Then you're Paladin.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
Paladin, horns are not a color.
Hey, Mickey.
Paladin, y'all's news sucks.
Ken.
Bitch, let me learn you something.
Paladin.
Yeah, shut up.
And Fort Max.
Are you going to cry?
So, Paladin, how's your illness?
Well, the worst of it seems to have passed, along with everything else from my system.
Well, it's about to get a lot worse, because it's superhero time.
We're a hard pill to swallow.
That's also
so
gonna
don't
be
spit it out.
Also going to be the second week in a row where I tell Paladin things are just getting worse from here, because it's time for the podcast. I think that might
good
be
news, it's a suppository.
All right, bend over. So did something happen in the news? Because I feel like there is something important that happened, and it's just not coming to me. This is someone's cue. Pick up on it.
Well, we might as well just start off with the thing people care about. Ninja's sixth member, Star Ninja.
Yes.
yes.
It is 99% the best thing ever.
99% the best thing.
What's the 1%? Or
the color.
Okay.
It needs to be orange.
Of course.
It's like God himself has come down and patted us all on the head saying, there you go, it's okay. Here's Shuriken or Ninja Ranger number 6, whatever.
And it's not a ninja, actually. It's a cowboy.
He's a sheriff.
A cowboy with a poncho and a gun, sword, guitar, and he transforms using a burger.
No. Now let's get this right. He transforms using a hamburger with a beer mug handle and a cell phone built into it.
Yes.
And the shuriken is the cheese.
And like, I was thinking, I was like, what are they going to do for a 6th ninja? That'd be interesting. And then they're just like, no, we're just not going to do that at all. We're just going to go completely off the rails.
The only ways that it could be better is, well, one, orange. Thank and you. Two, they bring back King Kusagi.
He kind of reminds me of Shinken Gold a bit, though. Yeah, the blue and gold combination.
People are saying that about the visor shape more.
That too.
Well,
not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I like Shinken Gold, so you know.
So the poncho, I like how it sort of mirrors the dragon shield.
It does.
And also how it's a handkerchief and fringe built into the armor.
Uh-huh.
That the star visor has little ends that give it doing the points of little folded up ends that give it a cowboy hat silhouette.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I just can't wait to see how this looks like in costume.
Uh-huh.
That could be amazing.
And the mecha.
Yes, yeah, let's continue on to the mecha. Four-wheeler ATV off-road that transforms into a bull-themed
ATV.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
Such is the power of Bison King.
Bison King?
Oh god, that's his name!
Yes, it is.
His name is Bison King! Oh god, okay, wait. According to a recent mecha, is created by fusing the Rodeo Maru with the King Bison Buggy. Rodeo Maru!
And that's really what happens. Look at the second set of images.
The Rodeo Maru with a King Bison Buggy.
You guys, this is my favorite week ever.
So, what I can infer from the toy pictures, it looks like the Ninja 6 is going to grow big, a la Ninja Man or something, and ride his mecha around.
Well, if it's
or
a
not
bolt,
Ninja Man.
Like Magna Defender.
Magna Defender, yes.
This is amazing. And the thing, like, just with Star Ninja's costume, it's
and
like...
And the other mecha, that...
Well, that could be the Rodeo Maru.
The surfing one?
No, the purple one. They also have a new add-on Zord called Surfer Maru, which is a purple submarine that transforms into a surfboard.
No, it turns into a surfboard with the guy surfing on it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and then when it combines, the guy sits in the chair in... what is the name of the Megazord?
Shurikenjin.
Right, so it sits in the control chair, and then Shurikenjin rides on the surfboard.
We're going to have a goddamn surfing Megazord.
Yes!
We had that already. That was in Dino Thunder.
Yeah. You realize this means Japan has actually resurrected surf ninjas.
Look, I will come over there and punch you in the face.
No.
Paladin, why did you just ruin everything?
Okay, but focusing on better things, like Star Ninja's costume is, like, all by itself an apology for all of Tokuger's costuming.
Basically,
like,
yeah.
All the Ranger suits in Tokuger, this is like, okay, we're making up for this all in one pass. And the Ninja suits, the main five, those are great by themselves, but this is just, like, this is a different level.
I can't wait to see them all, like, you can have these five ninjas and a cowboy. That's just...
Yeah.
We haven't talked much about how awesome his weapon is. It's a guitar. It's a sword and a gun.
A left-handed guitar, oddly.
Sorbin.
Huh, left-handed. That's interesting.
Interesting. Star Ninja is kind of insane and awesome in all the best possible ways.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that the show is, which we won't find out for an extra week now.
Given that
Go ahead.
Only thing that the only thing I don't like about this is that it's not orange. This is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I can say that about basically any toku costume. It's not orange enough.
Except for...
Well, I know orange is your thing here, but if I had my druthers, he'd be brown.
Yeah, like, as a second, I would go for that, because but, leather.
Like, if you had them in leather, like brown leather, right. That would be awesome.
Yes,
I'm fine with gold, though.
I totally agree with you on the brown leather.
Sentai gold is a close enough substitute, I think, for that.
Yeah. Mm. It's vaguely beigey.
Unless it's Shinken gold.
Well.
Then I don't know what the hell's up with it.
It was gold for an episode.
And then it tarnished.
Yes. Just like he probably will.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, that's a shame.
But anyway, we were saying.
Paladin.
Did the leg.
Sorry. Well, Toei worked out their episode airing issues since they didn't have Tokyuger 46 air the last time. Oh. So here's how it works. Tokyuger 46
really
aired.
You that one, didn't you?
Kind of. 46 aired this past weekend. Tokyuger 47, the last episode will air this coming weekend. And then Ninja got pushed back a week. It will now premiere on the 22nd.
That means the toys are coming out a week before the show, right?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Because that means the world has come to a screeching halt.
Because
toys are recalled.
Because during the live broadcast of Tokyuger, they still had Ninja toy commercials for next week.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that's going to eat into the sales any.
I think this is an incredibly silly thought to have.
Okay, so, like, I was talking to Gobblers about this a little bit on Twitter.
I'm just curious.
And, like, basically, his understanding of this is the whole point of coinciding the toy release with the start of the show is make the toys sell out of the physical stores first day or as close to it. You know,
right.
get the shelves empty. So, like, it's probably not going to have an impact on the overall sales of the first assortment
of
toys. But it's not going to perform. It's not going to perform exactly the way that Bandai wants it to from how this is all planned out.
Well, I'm sure they probably understand that given the circumstances, at least, I would think.
Given the fact that the premiere got pushed back a week, you know, I'm sure, you know, they're up to speed on what's going on. They're like, okay, just do it because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, just because they can't stop the shipping and all that. So.
And ultimately, well, they could probably send something out to the stores to say, don't put the stuff on shelves until the following week. Because all the stores get the stuff days in advance anyway.
And they've already advertised it being on shelves. So.
The easiest way is just rip off the Band-Aid and just go with it.
The other thing I'm thinking with this, too, though, is, like, Sentai ratings drop every year.
Just like all ratings for all things, but yeah.
And I don't think, like, the show itself is the strongest driver of these sales. You know, I think most of the performance is going to be because the toys look cool and, you know, this is the thing that's here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just in the end, it's just a vehicle to get it into the public consciousness.
Right.
And then they have the toys, they have video games, they have all sorts of other. They have arcade games and so on and so forth.
And I kind of wonder, too, if there's not going to be at least a little factor of, like, well, the toys are out, the kids are going to know the show starts the following weekend, and, you know, they're going to want to have, you know, one or two pieces at least to have with them when the show starts.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because, like, even, you know, our grown man fandom on Twitter and everything has expressed interest in, well, I could potentially have these toys in hand when the show comes out, like, when the show broadcasts in Japan, because EMS.
Right.
You know, the adults are getting excited about that, and I think the kids would have kind of the same thought.
And they're cool enough designs that I think they can almost sell themselves a little bit.
Now, this shouldn't affect Ninja's production or anything, should it? Will they lose an episode later on because they had to start late?
Probably. Yeah. No,
maybe?
They might lose an episode. But then that'll probably just be a filler episode.
Right, because 60% of a Sentai series is filler, conservatively. So
maybe the show will just run a bit tighter than normal. Which might not necessarily be a bad thing, because Tokyuger kind of had the same thing, because it only has 47 episodes, which is rather low, as it is.
You know, if they want the series to be 47, 48, 49 episodes, they're going to make the time to do it. You know, they'll make the next series start a week later than they would have otherwise. You know, however they want to get it done, they'll make the show be whatever length they want. Maybe it'll be 53 like Kakuranger.
Well, if they are counting it as kind of an anniversary series, they might be willing to let it run a little bit longer.
Yeah. With Big Red?
Damn it, I went there too. I just wasn't saying it.
Well, that's your own damn fault now, isn't it? I mean, you're the one who actually has Big Red.
I'm the only one who has him.
You know, I've never in my life had Big Red gum.
It's kind of disgusting.
It's cinnamon.
Well, and if you like cinnamon, that's probably fine, but, you know. I like cinnamon in small quantities mixed with other things. Like mayonnaise. No, I mean, like, I like mayonnaise in small quantities mixed with other things. I don't like cinnamon and mayonnaise mixed together. I'm not Don. Hi, Don.
Damn it, Don.
And besides, with Don, it would be cinnamon and Miracle Whip. Because he thinks mayonnaise is too disgusting.
Just another example of how Don has wrong opinions about everything.
Yeah.
I'm not even that great on mayonnaise, but Miracle Whip.
Oh, I'm not great on mayonnaise either. I think our biggest fan of mayonnaise was JD, because like JD actually made his own mayonnaise.
He certainly did. We heard
all joking aside.
And sour cream.
Yeah. JD's nachos.
They'll live forever.
Yeah. As will JD in our memories. But yeah, Don has disgusting taste in food and wrong opinions. Hi, Don.
Don, if you're listening, experiment. Don challenge. I want you to put a bunch of Miracle Whip into a popsicle mold and freeze it, and then enjoy it.
Would that work? Like, would Miracle Whip freeze solid?
Well, that's the experiment now, isn't it?
Ah.
Oh, God. That could be nasty.
Don, make a Miracle Whip popsicle.
Yeah. Like,
bye, Don.
Even a part...
And video yourself eating it, too. That would
be
great.
Oh, please, no.
Yeah, I want to see, like, Miracle Whip melting all around your lips. The internet wants to see that.
I think we've learned Mickey has interesting thoughts about Don.
I just have interesting thoughts about what I could melt it to corporate office.
Uh-huh. Well... On that interesting note, truth is, though, I am interested scientifically in if Miracle Whip will make a popsicle if you freeze it. Like, even the eating part aside, I'm just curious if it'll freeze hard enough.
Well, science!
Interquote.
Okay. What I need is more Paladin. He doesn't talk enough anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
He talks plenty, it's just his microphone's usually not working.
I'm going to hire somebody to follow Paladin around in his daily life with a recorder.
A private dick?
Yeah.
Why are you giggling?
Because it's this show. You said dick. Do I really need to explain that?
Yes,
I think you just did.
You do, because then I get an intro quote out of it.
good.
You know, for the intro we're running last week and this week's show, I actually went to the unusual step of changing the order of the host just to make the order of the quotes flow better.
Oh my god.
You should listen to that if you haven't already.
I will.
Of course, anybody listening to the show right now, hi Don, will already have heard the intro this week, and probably last week too, because I don't think anybody listens to just one episode. Nobody listens to just one complete episode anyway. They might listen to
nobody
5 minutes.
Nobody listens to one episode, period.
They would listen to like 5 minutes and then never listen again. Nobody listens, like, if you listen to a whole episode of the podcast, you're probably in it for the long haul.
Hi, Gigabeetle.
The long haul.
So anyway, news.
Wonderfest.
Did we see anything of value there?
It wasn't very wonderful, was it? I mean, there was the Pluto prototype. I think that might be the only thing really to our interests at all.
Max, you brought it up. Do you have anything to add?
For Max?
Well, let's see. There was a fake Sailor Moon.
Okay, yeah, there was that. That was kind of cool.
Sailor V and Super Sailor Moon.
Yeah. The Stars one, right?
Yes.
What did they have? They had the Stars one?
No.
Or the Super one? The S one?
Super.
Super
Sailor Moon.
Not Eternal. Eternal's the Stars one, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I've never even seen Stars, and I know that better than Ken does.
Neither have I.
Yeah, he doesn't see stars either.
There was the, and the, you also had second opening, there was the second opening, Sakura, Figma, or Figure Arts.
Either or. They seem to be, like, running the same designs.
Yeah.
Which,
it's a race.
Yeah, apparently.
So who's going, now we just need to wait on who's going to be first for the third opening, outfit.
Ah. Max Factory.
It's Ryuki all over again.
Oh, wait, Max Factory is Figma. I'm thinking of Metacom.
No, except, no, Ryuki was staggered by, like, first Figma did theirs, and then Bandai came along and their asses.
yeah.
But, which is an accurate description, because they blew the Figma Ryuki stuff out of the water.
It's more funny how the Dragon Knight stuff came about, because, like, you know, Figma specifically was Dragon Knight, because that's the license they could get.
And then they... Then they went ahead and did the addition that Bandai went ahead and did the here's the Ryuki rider that only showed up in Decade that you can't do.
Yeah. They were really, like, you know, just like openly vindictive without saying a word about that.
I know, it was great.
It was
Remember
awesome.
The PlayStation? Remember that PlayStation 4 versus Xbox One thing that we missed talking about live by like 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man, corporate environments are so awesome sometimes from the outside.
From the outside.
Obviously.
Yes.
No, okay, so, like, Sailor V is an obvious thing. I didn't really think they would do Zoisite Sailor Moon.
Well, it's an easy recolor.
It
Why
is,
not?
I just didn't think they would do that, though.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Easy recolor,
Bandai.
With the
voice box for Zoisite's laugh.
So, Fort Max, was there anything else interesting at Wonderfest for you?
Not really.
Okay, then. Moving along.
It may not have been at Wonderfest, but we did get images of the new Arms Chain Zangetsu and Baron set.
Oh, Zangetsu looks amazing. So pretty.
I always did like watermelon candy. And that's exactly what it looks like. It makes
and
me think of Jolly Rancher.
For spitting seeds.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's in plastic.
Meanwhile, Apple Baron is... Well, that sure
is he being boring?
That sure comes with Zangetsu, doesn't it?
See, I get less apple, more bone.
That one's
Why
kind
are
of
you laughing?
That
bone
kind
and
of,
bananas don't mix at all.
That one's kind of a slow burn, but...
No, it doesn't look like he's covered in dragon claws, really.
So far in my notes, I have alternating intro quote references for Ken and Mickey. I think we know who the stars are tonight. Paladin, you better step up your game.
Yeah. Okay, last thing of note this week, I think, is another new trailer for Garo's Golden Shower.
Yes, it looks freaking awesome.
It certainly does. They also had a press conference, and we found out who one of the other stars is going to be, or, well, if not stars, at least featured players.
Masahiro Inoue is
Kato!
Oh, man! Really?
Yes.
And at the press conference, he had pink hair.
Oh, I can't wait.
Honore Garo.
So, here's a show where he doesn't even have to act like he's, you know, halfway a decent person.
Right? Just like Decade.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't even know about that. That's amazing.
I'm so happy to see a Garo show up that I'm going to like again.
It sure looks that way, doesn't it?
We can only hope, anyway.
I guess what we're seeing is probably from the movie right now. Or unless that is the beginning of the series, we still don't really know yet.
The movie is episode zero for this series, according to the production.
Okay, so we'll probably won't see the episode zero for a while.
Maybe, maybe not.
Well, we'll see. Regardless, they gave that setting a hell of a new budget compared to what they had before.
Which makes sense, I mean...
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it was successful, and then Makai no Hana was obviously successful. The anime is obviously successful. Garo, in general, is successful in general right now.
Yeah. It's pretty great from a franchise whose, like, first sequel came 5 years after the original series.
Yeah.
Funded by pachinko money.
Yeah.
Pachinko money.
It's like they went 5 years, then the movie, then Run Requiem, then another year, then Makai Senki, and then it's been annual ever since. Actually, more than annual now, because it's been... It's
because
not
of
stopped.
The anime.
Yeah, and with the anime, it's not stopped in the last year.
Right. Yeah, Garo
I like
is
how
actually...
hard it is to say Red Requiem without it sounding like Wed Requiem.
I know!
You know, I have to think that's not such a problem in Japanese just because of the weird way they do R's in the first place.
Led Requiem?
Led Requiem.
Max, that's racist. Don't do that.
Even worse. Oh.
Oh, boy. But yeah, Garo has really stepped up and come into its own.
Yeah.
And every other series or so, that's actually pretty cool.
Well, not every other, because, you know, Makai Senki was good, and then the end, though, was great. It's just really, like we discussed, it's Makai no Hana has its moments, but it's just kind of,
it's not up to par. It works better in marathon form than week to week.
Yes. And much even like, then, it works better if you just kind of cherry pick.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean...
How would you know?
Watching week to week... Watching week to week, I got bored with it and, like, stopped after episode 7. But when I went back to do the rest of the series so me and Ken could actually talk about it at length, I didn't really have that much of a problem watching the whole thing in, like, batches.
And the good thing is that we already know that Ryuga and Rion are dynamic enough characters. They have a good chemistry. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whether or not the rest of the cast from that series returns, they could probably carry it pretty well themselves.
I admit I'd love to see more Takeru, but it won't make or break the series for me if he doesn't show up.
And if he does, especially like if Masahiro Sakurai's character is a regular.
Well, see, I'm hoping with the focus just being on, you know, the two of them. Mm-hmm. She might actually get better characterization if the writing's just focused on her.
The trailers show her kind of kicking some ass, too.
Well, the problem in the end, though, is that half the time she was kicking ass, half the time she was clueless damsel in distress.
Right. Yeah. The problem is more about her getting consistent characterization rather than better, because she's had good characterization. They just did not uphold that through the whole series.
Right.
Yeah.
If they can take the better parts and carry that consistently through Golden Shower.
Yes. But I mean, she ended well at very least, so that's a good note to start on, if anything.
The people actually running the series wanted her to have the better characterization. They just had some writers that weren't so good at that.
Yeah.
If they exercise some tighter control this time, I don't think we'll see that as much of a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the series starting.
Especially considering that the first series was really just kind of a stopgap series, you could tell at first.
Mm-hmm.
But it obviously dug its heels in a bit more than they were probably anticipating originally.
It was interesting.
Oh, it was. It's like they were like, okay, we're going to give you this franchise, but we're not going to give you like any kind of a budget, and maybe like 3 CGI models you can use. Go.
And they pulled something out with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be satisfied if, like, every other live-action Garo series was in this setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or something based on this setting. And, you know, the ones in between can be normal Garo setting with...
Raiga.
Bad episodes and boringness. Yes, I agree.
You know, I mean, there's definitely room to cater to fans of both formats. Mm-hmm.
And I still need to watch the anime. I'm not so bothered
about that, but...
But I want to see it. I've watched the first couple episodes. It's interesting, but I want to watch it just marathon it all at once.
I might try that after it's all done with.
Yeah. Most of it's on Hulu right now, so...
Hmm.
Damn you, Hulu.
What?
It's just, I can't watch on my TV unless I want to pay them money, and I don't want to do that.
Or unless you hook your TV up to your computer.
Oh, I need a very long cord for that.
In further damn you Hulu news, it seems that they will not be carrying Dino Charge.
Huh.
Well, okay. I get yo-ho-ho, a pirate's life for me. I mean,
well,
I can edit
that part, right?
It's either that or I'm not going to be watching it, because it's like, because
Nick's Player sucks ass.
Nick's Player sucks ass. It's almost unwatchable. It took me over an hour to watch 20-minute first episode.
Well, Ken, if they keep putting the episodes on Nick.com the same way they did the premiere, I can probably set you up with the way to get the source files off of there.
Yeah, because most times I work Saturday afternoon, so just not happening. I don't have a DVR.
I can probably give you the means to do that if you're willing to do a little work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that either, to be honest.
Paladin, do you think you can run Python installation on your computer? Do you think you have that capacity? Honestly.
No, I just wouldn't mind benefiting from it.
Well, hey, whatever Ken wants to do with the file he downloads from the website after he's done with it, that's up to him.
Yeah, I mean.
Or I guess I could equip Fort Max, too.
Get equipped with Fort Max. It's like a Mega Man power-up.
But what would the Fort Max Buster do? Like, what's the special power of that?
It adjusts your aspect ratio.
it upscales. Who's typing?
Not me.
Not it.
Nope.
It must be XV.
But I'm not even making any notes right now. Nobody said anything funny since Yo Ho Ho, A Pirate's Life for Me.
Are we done with the news?
I think so, yes.
Oh. That was quicker than I expected. What she said.
I can find some other shit to drag up if we need to pad this out.
Well, in Drive News, nobody cares about... No, I'm kidding.
In Drive News, nobody cares about Drive.
That's not news.
I almost want to apologize to the listener base that I know actually does care about Drive, but then we wouldn't be Superhero Time.
Also, we should encourage their addiction.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you like Drive. I'm sorry that you like Drive.
We need to be the intervention for terrible Toku fans. Or fans of terrible Toku, however you want to phrase that.
How about both? We'll intervene in terrible Toku fans, which is to say Toku fans who are terrible, and we'll also do interventions for fans of terrible Toku.
Can we intervene intravenously?
Sure.
That sounds dirty.
I assume that was intended.
Well, it's only dirty if you don't use clean needles.
You know, this would be a great conversation for the heroin bonky episode.
It would. God, that was
but
so great.
We're some months too late for that now. So, trains?
Better go for it. Go for it! Go, 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 go.
Go, go.
Oh, go, go.
Power Rangers. Right? Eh?
Good enough.
I think the tempo's wrong to mix those together.
Tempos can be adjusted in post.
That's true. I've done that before.
Oh, come on, media player. Don't crash on me.
I've given Paladin, like, more beats per second, even.
That's why it crashes on me.
Can I beat Paladin more often, too?
That's an intro quote now, isn't it?
But it wasn't until you said that.
Damn it.
So, Mickey, you want to do Tokuger?
All right, so we last left off 30
years ago.
Can I
do the recap, just the recap intro, though?
Well, sure.
Okay.
So, when last we left Tokuger, Wright had just Dark Digivolved. That's all I got.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for more.
No, no, just when I watched that the first time at the end of 40.
So he became Skull Greymon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Or, so, like, you know, or Black War Toki 1. Which, I mean, with the rest of this episode, doesn't seem that inaccurate.
No.
Well, with Right Dark Digivolve, Dakoto shits his pants, and Jerry gets ready for Leomon to die.
Okay, so he's Megidramon. Okay, go on.
I just wasn't reaching far enough.
Apparently not. Accurate, actually, to the series, so go on.
Sure.
I think Tamers is a more fitting allegory.
I suppose.
Alright. Okay, so while he's fooling around with Zed, trying to make out or whatever, Greta decides, okay, let's get out of here. She throws a switch, and then the castle exits stage left. Or right. Stage right. Our left.
It backs away slowly.
It just slides off screen, which I find hilarious. Like a cardboard cutout of a castle is going... meanwhile, inside the castle, Tokyu 6 is still hyper, and he's beaten up on Granny Goodness and Nero. And he blasts off again with them off into the night sky.
I like the way the hyper stuff looks on the Tokyu 6 suit.
Yeah,
golden orange should not look good together, but it does.
It shouldn't. It almost looks like it was designed for him, even though this is the only time he's worn it in the entire series.
At the same time, I'm glad he's getting a chance with it before the series ends.
Oh, yeah. It's like Shinken Gold, where he only got
it. Yeah, Genta had to get it in the Super Video or Hyper Battle or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was called. And.
And he was entirely too round for it.
Yeah.
So, while this is going on, hometown is rising back up to the surface and life is returning to normal.
Ish.
We cut to Wright's mom saying, I wonder where Wright is. He's probably at a secret base. Wait, who was Wright again? It doesn't matter. I better get my liquor.
Oh dear. That's not good.
Also,
I know,
aside,
she should have already had her liquor.
Slight aside, right. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get to see Hyper Tokyu Ticket.
Oh.
Now that I've ruined your day, continue.
So, you know, apparently the series is going to end with a happy ending where the parents get to forget they had children and live happy lives.
With liquor.
Yeah. So, it's nice that we're ending the series on a high note.
Right. Thoughtful of them.
So, as the four Tokyuters are wandering through the forest going, oh, hit this back, everything's green and pretty and happy. Hey, is that Wright fighting to the death of Zed over there?
Wait,
we kind of forgot about him, didn't we?
Why is his costume black?
Black and glittery.
And purpley.
A walking hologram.
Well, if you make it purple, it'll look darker than black.
Right. On camera.
Right.
So while the Tokyuters stand around dumbfounded,
of course it's right.
Granny Goodness and Nero.
That's their natural expression, though.
Yes.
I mean, that's some of them's natural expression. Some of them are actually like
everyone except Hikari.
Yeah.
Sometimes Mio.
Sometimes Mio.
But in general, they're just sitting there with their mouths open, drooling, going, ugh.
This is not supposed to happen. This was not on the agenda.
Thankfully, Granny Goodness and Nero intervene and break up the fight.
Okay, there's a line you will never hear again and never expected to hear. Thankfully, Granny Goodness and Nero intervene.
Yeah.
Well, because the Tokyuters aren't doing anything to save the day here.
No.
So with the fight over, Wright passes out and starts farting out black clouds of shit. Like it emanates from his butt, which
is kind
of awesome.
What the hell did he eat?
And Akira's like, don't touch him. He might be radioactive.
Right.
I'll do
it makes sense because, you know, since Akira is a shadow, he can actually interact with that without
being harmed.
Right.
In whatever unspecified manner. Presumably Wright would contaminate somebody else if they tried to touch him or pick him up.
At the point he's at.
Which, you know, would just exacerbate all the problems.
So, well, Wright is all zonked out on darkness ludes. He hallucinates back to the past to when the darkness took over the town. And apparently what went down is right as soon as the darkness hit, he ditched his friends and ran off into the darkness.
Or so, got dragged off to the darkness, but, you know.
Well, he let go of their hands and ran forward.
Well, okay, so, like, what it seemed to me was, I think at the end of 44, because it's been a few weeks now, so it's hard to remember that far back, like, there was allusion to Zed reaching through the darkness trying to get to one or more of them. And so it seems like at this point, Wright was trying to, like, get in between that and his friends, and he ended up getting dragged away in the process.
It's somewhat unclear at this moment.
I'll just say that's my interpretation of it, and we can move on.
Yes. So, back on the train, the president is there.
President.
And he says, well, let's just make this simple. Wright and Zed are the same person.
That is not simple. That is the opposite of simple.
And see, this is what I meant by I was like, when I was trying to hit him in Hall and say, well, it becomes somewhat more clear what they're trying to talk about, but there is still a thing about it. And apparently what I surmised from the Raw was basically correct.
All right, so here's what went down, basically. In that scene, when Wright ran off into the darkness to ditch his friends because he was embracing evil or whatever. That's not what they say, but that's totally what he's doing. He hates them.
Stupid 10-year-old kid.
No,
all 10-year-olds are evil,
don't you
know?
Grab each other. Mm-hmm. They seed each other with their essences.
Yeah, basically,
they just inject themselves deeply into each other.
They had unsafe contact and kind of infected each other.
Yes.
Deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So, deep within Wright, Zed's seed is growing. But Wright's got his seed deep within Zed.
Yeah,
which explains why Zed's got the shining in him. Or the shinning, because we don't want to get sued.
And Wright has acquired internal darkness syndrome.
Yes.
And the bad thing is, this is all entirely accurate.
So, which is also why, when the series first started, Wright got teleported to the darkness side, where everyone else ended up in the light train.
Within the first 2 minutes of the series,
they telegraphed what had happened. Yes.
But we didn't think a damn thing of it.
Because we didn't have all the context.
And they didn't. They
hadn't
brought it up.
Tight ass writing.
They hadn't brought it up for, you know, 45 episodes, actually. So.
You know what kind of writing this is? This is Gaim writing.
Yes.
It's Kobayashi when her writing does not get screwed with.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, it's any consistent, experienced long game writer when they're able to actually pull off all their plans.
Right. What probably GoBusters would have more been consistently all the way through, probably, if it hadn't been for getting the rug pulled out from under them multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say getting the rug pulled out underneath them, I say getting pushed down a flight of stairs.
Well, one can lead to the other. Like, if you pull the rug out from under somebody and you give them a little tap on the shoulders at the same time, they're going to go down the stairs a little bit more effectively than doing either one alone.
Yeah. That's right.
Not
You've
that
thought
I
about
know
this a little too much.
Not that I have any experience.
You only wish you lived in a two-story house now.
Well, I have lived in houses that have basements.
Shit.
Like the Alamo?
Don't turn my back on XV. Check.
Well, it's not like Mickey's house has steps. There is
a steep hill.
Yeah, there's a steep driveway. That would probably work, too.
Shit.
There's
all right,
steep,
so.
There's a steep hill and there's cars in it. All I'd need is somebody down at the bottom and to flip it into neutral.
Oh, God.
So, Ken, when are you going to be arriving?
Moving on.
Moving on. Back at the Disco Darkness Palace, Granny Goodness, Nero, and Zed return and see all the mess that Grit has made.
Oh, God.
See? And they're like, curse you, Gritta! I'll strike back at you if it's the last thing I ever do. And Zed's like, hold the fuck up.
Oh my god. And I can't believe it got left off for 2 weeks on this, too. But go on.
I've got unfinished business with this bitch. I'll be right back.
Well, and then Granny Goodness and you're like, wait, she's still here?
Fucking idiot!
So if Zed hadn't been so on the ball with this, I wonder how long Greta would have been sitting in the basement waiting for someone to come get her.
Well, there's an awful lot of stairs to get out of the basement. I don't think she's the type to want to climb them anytime soon.
Yeah, because like, so, she came in through the garage door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Zed hauls ass down to the basement where Greta's eating Twinkies. And he's like, yo, revenge, huh?
Sup! Cut to a peaceful scene on the beach.
And Greta's like, no, I just feel sorry for you because you're so pathetic.
Well, yeah. Accurate.
And then we cut away.
Yes.
To the four non-evil Tokugers looking at the water flow and commenting, it's so salty.
Well, yeah, I guess Akira is technically evil.
So they're sort of come to terms with, oh, that's right, we're adults. We can't go home.
No, that's right, on the train.
Ugh, Paladin, stop that. And so they sort of come to the realization that, well, you know, maybe we can't go home, but we can save our parents' lives and everyone in the town. And
we can stalk them afterward. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
It won't be creepy at all.
No. These weird 16 to 20-year-olds, you know, just chilling out, following these adults around. But, you know, no big deal.
So, back on the train, the adults are having a conversation.
And conductor.
Yeah.
And Slutbot 9000.
No. She's an adult in the context of, I need an adult.
And she's intensely right there. So, they're basically explaining to Wright that, so basically what's going to happen is that everyone's going to kind of forget that anything bad happened at all.
Or anything happened at all, period.
And as long as you're on the train, no one's going to remember you exist. Isn't that fun?
Oh, dear.
So, it's, Wright looks out the window at a beach that is clearly not the beach that they're, speaking of which, this beach.
Uh-huh.
Did they fly to America to film this? I refuse to believe there's any beach in Japan with sand on it.
No, there was that beach at the end of Gaim.
I'm pretty sure they flew somewhere for that, because all the beaches I've ever seen in Japan are nothing but rocks and, like, hypodermic needles.
Okay, so maybe this was, like, a really complex composite shot.
As opposed to sand. And
maybe they used footage from the New Zealand unit.
Yes.
Do they still have a New Zealand unit?
No.
Oh, I didn't think so. They only did that for a couple of years, didn't they?
Yep.
Maji and Boken, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Geki.
Yeah, Geki had it.
Yeah, so
Maji and Geki definitely had New Zealand unit.
From Maji to Geki. Not Gowunder, though.
No.
No.
No. Not like the New Zealand unit ever really did anything for them, though.
No, not really. Got a couple nice shots in Bokenger, though.
So Wright's all like, well, you know, it's far too late for me. I've already succumbed to the dark side of the Force. But can, you know, the good kids, can they go home? And smash cut back to Greta and Zed making out in the basement.
Or Zed, you know, caressing her cheek. And then transforming.
Which, the second he transforms, the whole thing is a real, oh shit, this is not going to end well.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, Greta's face is expressionless because of the costume, and yet you can see, you can envision her eyes widening. It just looks so much wider in that shot for some reason.
Well, the eyes do move.
Oh, do they? I wasn't sure.
I believe they have eyelids built in.
Still. Just the last thing matter. We see is Zed's sword coming out. And
another smash cut outside.
Cut, you say?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, meanwhile, back in the lobby, Zed storms out and says, yep, that bitch is dead.
After
some crows in there
her,
to clean up the mess.
After
yeah,
we hear her
scream.
Her horrifying death throes.
So, oh shit. Zed just murdered Greta, Miss Innocence.
presumably, anyway. But then again, they got left there for, like, I haven't seen 46 yet, but that got left for just, you know, 2 weeks because of the preemption, and it's just like, well, that's dark.
Yeah, do we really think they killed Gritta off screen?
I don't know.
They were kind of important for a little while.
I haven't seen 46, so. But they just leave it there for the entire episode. So I'm like, well, that's horrifying for rubber monsters, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing comparable to that in recent memory was like when Redaway murdered Roshuo and just, you know, was just, you know, off screen jabbing him over and over and over and over again until Kota flipped his shit.
Well, and here's why I'm inclined to believe that Gritta's dead. What purpose would she have for surviving?
Stopping Zed at the end? Cause like,
but then what are you going to do with Gritta after it's over?
She will go back into the darkness to be away from everything so Zed can't come back out.
That's an idea.
Like, my whole interpretation of Gritta allowing herself to be absorbed by Zed in the first place was because she realized she's the only thing that can keep him under control.
It's a possibility.
So, like, I would see that the end of the series, the Tokyoers can't defeat Zed. There's no way to defeat Zed because Zed is darkness and you can't ever get rid of darkness completely.
Haku Ranger ending, then?
Basically, except that Gritta sacrifices herself to seal Zed back away.
Hmm.
That could work.
There is still a purpose for her if she has not been killed. And just the off-screenness of it makes me think, you know, she's not actually... Cause,
the better question is if she's alive, why is she alive? Why would Zed spare her at this point?
Well, that's the question.
Because he still wants that shine.
Yeah, the easy answer is that the shining in him wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
Even though he's tried to turn against it, he can't quite silence it in him.
Because it's just like the darkness in Wright.
That's
yeah,
true.
Maybe that door swings both ways.
Just like your mom.
Oh!
Oh, please, what does she know about getting through a door?
Oh, well played.
I got my wish!
Well done, sir.
Also, I'm just going to point out that Granny Goodness and Nero got more of an on-screen death than Gritta, and they turned up alive again.
This is true.
So,
y'all thought they were dead.
I'm not ruling anything out unless we actually see bodies evaporate away into, you know, clouds of thematic materials like hats and feathers.
Or fireballs.
And, like, globs of fat in Granny Goodness's case.
No, she'd have microphones.
Now, that also works for Gritta.
No, I think Gritta would evaporate into white feathers.
Oh, God.
A cloud of talcum powder.
All right.
Anyway, episode.
Episode, well, just, yes.
And,
back
and,
on the
you
beach.
You know, in the hyper battle video, when Crab died, he turned into bubbles. So there's precedent here.
I love bubbly Japanese crabs. They're the best. Okay, so back on the beach, there are no bubbly crabs, but we do have Wright rejoining the team, saying, "Hi, guys," through clenched smile teeth. "Can I see your passes for a second? I just... don't want to steal them from you. I just want to borrow them and look at them." Nice looking.
I do like that. You know, everybody else passes them over. Hikari's like,
"Hold up!
Wait a second!
You're not going to steal this, are you?"
Then he just snatches it. Like,
yep. Eventually, it goes down to yoink. Bye.
Hikari really is the real leader.
Yeah. So, Wright makes on the train and slams the door in their faces.
Yeah.
And he's like, "See ya! I'm off to save the day by myself. Enjoy being children."
And then he goes to the furnace that's been in the dining car or whatever car that is they're always in.
And he sets them on fire.
Train steam-powered.
Slutbot 9000 does, anyway.
Yeah.
Point is, their passes get burned.
Yeah.
And I bet that plastic put out some amazing fumes.
I imagine.
And it's a nice touch. As they burn, they revert back to their non-imagined states of little crayon-drawn tickets.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice touch.
So as the train speeds away, the Tokugers revert back into kids.
Yeah, once the train is actually out of sight, then they kind of forget.
They forget what they were running for.
They don't know yet because first Akira stops them. And then they're like, wait, what are we running after? And then
who is this strange man holding us?
But that look on Akira's face is actually like almost physically painful to watch. It's like, oh, shit. What the hell did I just do? Because he went along with that whole thing, too, which is the even worse part of it.
He probably didn't think they would forget about it. Which, that would probably be worse for them, though.
Yeah.
In back of the train, Wright's having guilty hallucinations of ghosts.
Huh.
Ghosts of his friend saying, "Hi, Wright, you'd never abandon us, would you? You'd never betray us.
Here, have some food.
You won't turn
we'll be together forever.
We'll
always support each other.
We'll use the power of darkness.
We'll never leave you.
Who are you?
Itchy would never betray us.
So you're saying the entire team is Kota now?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're all going to be a bunch of fruit Jesuses?
Maybe. Who knows?
Train Jesus.
Train Jesus.
So the kids all run home and reunite with their families. Hooray. Happy endings.
Or Hikari's mom as she's leaving.
Yeah.
To go home.
That's your home, son. Bye. I've got to get back to the street corner. Now then.
They never did specify her occupation, did they?
Nope.
Okay.
Let's get back to the important
I think
part
we
of
just
episode.
Did.
Perhaps the most horrifying and important scene of the whole episode.
Yes.
I mean the best part of the whole episode.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for this. I've been waiting for this.
So Wright's back in the train, contemplating suicide. When Caboose and Conductor wander up and say, "I don't know, it really doesn't matter." They're flapping their lips about nothing. And Wright suddenly jumps up and snatches ticket off of Conductor's hand. Thank you. Finally, I've been waiting all season to do this.
And then Ticket bites him.
Yep.
And Ticket starts talking.
While Conductor's hand moves.
While Conductor's hand is moving.
And Conductor has this look on his face like, I'm not alive anymore.
So, we're pretty sure it's not the hand controlling Ticket at that point. It's Ticket's mouth controlling the hand, right?
Right.
So, all of our theories have been proven accurate. It really is a puppet that's taking over a human being.
Yes.
That's completely horrifying.
We'll see the ninja versus Tokuger, and it'll just be a giant ticket head over Conductor's.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, if it does that, I'm going to, like, cry underneath the bed.
You know.
Then what if he transforms into Tokyo 6 that way?
Oh, God, yes! Please! Giant Tokyo ticket helmet. Yes, I want that.
Oh, so horrifying.
And you know, a giant ticket head mask thing would be a great way to get around. What if they can't get that actor back to be Conductor?
Just conveniently, they couldn't get him back. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know. We tried to get him back, but nobody could get a hold of him. We don't know where he went.
Muffled screaming from within the helmet that they had to mute in ADR. The actors just kind of like side eye it a little bit. What we're saying is that Ticket is actually a real thing.
Yeah.
This he's not acting. It's really going to consume him in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to sleep tonight, let's move on.
Well, it's what already happened to the president.
Yeah.
The president.
Yeah, the president was basically the model for this whole thing. It's what brought everything into focus. Because this is eventually what that will become.
Yes, of course.
And the movie has showed us what, you know, the earlier stage of evolution is.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's a game at that point.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Oh, how wrong they are.
So basically, it's kind of like heroin, in that it starts out for, you know, fun, and then, like, it takes over you.
Yeah, basically
it's pretty much what... Of course, the infection's already started in at Toei Studios. It's only a matter of time before it takes over the world.
Mm-hmm. Right, of course. We're watching the end of civilization here as we know it.
Yeah. I'm glad we can all sit here and have a laugh about it.
Anyway, there's a plot here, I think, right?
I think we were just talking about it.
They're actually going to kill Zed next week, the tree and the boss's ticket.
So, Wright, apparently fearing for his life by hanging around Conductor any longer, decides, okay, I've got to get to the villains.
Well, yeah, let me rush headlong and get to Zed instead of dealing with Ticket.
So he runs to the train cabin and slams on the gas or whatever powers trains. I don't know. And the conductor and Caboose are like, oh, wait, hold up. You're supposed to be waiting for your backup. We need Akira for this.
Yeah.
But that. Apparently Wright has forgotten you can't outrun the rest of the train. he's just dragging Conductor with him.
Yeah. Yeah, so he lied to Akira, too.
Yeah.
So, what's Akira doing? Like,
so Wright has found his place to die.
Akira's at secret base.
Yeah.
Actually. So I don't
doing
know.
Secret base things? I don't know.
Something. I don't
he's
know.
Inspecting
it.
It.
It'll probably be irrelevant.
He's making sure
he's
the kids
building
don't
railroad tracks up to it.
He's fixing the ladder.
For reasons.
He's making sure the kids don't fall out of it again.
He has them caged up in there.
He's tied them to the uppermost branches to make sure that they can't ever fall out of the tree again.
But anyway, this scene of Wright fighting all these crows on Transformers is kind of nice.
It is nice, but although I question, like, where was Wright going?
Towards the castle. Oh, no, wait, it rises up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe
apparently Wright decided to drive. I'm going to go to this plaza where there's a bunch of crows waiting for me so I can kick some ass.
Maybe the dark. He can sense it through the darkness in him or something. I don't know.
Sure, why not?
It looks dramatic enough. It. I'm not.
That makes Toku sense.
It makes perfect Toku sense.
Mm-hmm. He's got burning justice going on, so you know logic isn't going to be stopping this problem.
Burning justice or burning hatred? I don't know which it is at this point.
Burning sensations, or just consuming.
I think you can tell by the color. Like if it's burning justice, it's kind of this like golden yellow.
Uh huh. A red.
If it's burning hatred, it's more of a red.
So
what if it's sort of like a weeping discharge?
what if it's a black fart of doom?
I think that's like smoldering evil.
So it has smoldering evil.
Yeah.
Then where does the piss green fit in?
Well, in the Mountain Dew, of course.
Yes. Well, so he goes Tokyo.
So wait, you piss green into the Mountain Dew? I think that's a little backwards.
Does this make him Tokyo number one pitch black?
He is purple, isn't he?
Yes. And also, hey,
he's pitch black one or two.
Finally, we see the reason that they left the Nitsuko ball laying on the ground for five episodes. So they could dramatically pan up as the light hits it, which actually kind of looks cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
While Wright just annihilates all the crows with his dark farts.
Tokyo Black.
Yeah, Evil Tokyo 1 is actually considerably more powerful.
Yeah! Evil is
Ow.
Good.
Evil will always win because good is stupid.
Is too stupid. Damn it, I fucked up. I'm sorry. I was trying. I haven't seen Spaceballs.
Very trying.
Oh, come on, Fort Max. He's not Paladin.
But yeah, that's...
All right,
yep.
So...
That's the episode.
To be concluded at some point when they decide to air Tokuger again.
Well, it's actually already aired.
Damn it,
that's
Ken.
We're talking
stop
about
ruining things.
No, never!
Damn it, Paladin.
Tokuger is such a great show. Like, it's one of my favorite Sentais.
It's gotten there, yeah.
Now they just have to stick the landing.
I think I am going so far as to say is that it's probably my second favorite Sentai behind Gowanger.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still no Gowanger, but it's pretty good.
So it's gotten past Gokaiger for you then.
Yes, Gokaiger is great,
yeah, it's
but Gokaiger has some definite flaws.
We actually discussed those last time we were talking about Tokuger, I think, yeah. So.
Kaku Ranger's up there, too.
Ranger has a few flaws, too.
Mm-hmm.
it's hard for me to do like a definitive ranking because
each one always has their own little wrinkles.
The other thing too is it's hard to hold up like, you know, 90s or 80s Sentai to now Sentai.
And it's even like, you know, Go Wanzer is aiming for something completely different than Tokyuger or Gokaiger or GoBusters, or even even if GoBusters and Tokyuger have the same writer, you can see, you know, signs of that. Like, you know, Kobayashi is really good with her villains, but it's still aiming
really
for
good with her villains having multiple reds.
Oh yeah. That's true.
Here's my basis of rating. It's not by terms of quality or how well things are done. It's my emotions about the series when it's over.
Yeah.
When I think about how I feel about the series, that's how I determine which ones are in the ranking.
Yeah,
With Gokaiger, once the final episode aired, I was like, okay, cool, that's done, that was fun.
Gokaiger ended, I was satisfied. I was like, yeah, I got what I wanted out of it.
It's a weird thing. It's like, when you hit that final scene, it's like, that is exactly how I wanted the series to end. Good job.
Gokaiger was a really rare case of you have exactly as much as you want. You are perfectly satisfied.
Yes.
And you can go on to the next thing.
And it's like, say, I know you're not as big of Shinkenger as I am, but it's like when Shinkenger would show up in the team ups and whatnot, it would be like, oh, I really want to see more of them. When Gokaiger does, it's like, oh, cool. It's marvelous. That's cool. Like, it's like even though, like, say, in GoBusters versus Gokaiger, the rest of the Gokaigers really didn't get much screen time besides Guy and Marvelous. But it didn't really bother me as much as it might have, say, in GoBusters versus Kyoryuger versus GoBusters, which was terrible.
Did I make you do the summary of that?
You did.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm still bitter about that.
I can hear it. That's why I wondered.
Oh, God, I hate that movie. but, like, when the Gokaiger showed up, it's like, I was like, oh, it's cool to see them again, but it wasn't just like, you know, I really wanted to see more of what they were going to do. When we get to Ninja versus Tokyuger eventually, I really want to see what they're going to be doing for the Tokyuger's post-series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tokyuger 10 years after starring the kid actors.
No, that's too clever.
Well, give it a decade, we'll see.
I guess.
If we give it a decade, he'll just ruin it and try and kill them all.
Can we have GoBusters 10 years after first, though?
Not GoBusters 10 years after. Jay 10 years after.
Well, that would be part of it.
Well, no, it has to be GoBusters 10 years after to figure out how they're going to shoehorn Masato back in.
Oh, I know exactly how to do it. He's already a hologram. Make him a ghost hologram. Just put him all in blue.
And how do they explain the fact he's actually aged?
Yeah. Jay did that.
Jay didn't copy it correctly.
And Masato would be like, Jay, damn it, I'm not supposed to look this old.
Wait, I got it. GoBusters 10 years after set in Dobutsu Sentai continuity.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes. Because they're the only one that's dead is Green Hippo.
But Green Hippo died.
But he's dead.
That's what I'm saying. He's the only one that's died.
Oh, that's true.
Everybody else is still alive in that continuity.
The thing with all GoBusters was actually the alternate continuity. The actual continuity of Sentai was their animal one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be real. That's probably what Toei and Bandai wish. And that entire thing is a complete, like, F you to them. I believe we discussed this before, but...
Well,
that entire
the guy
movie
who, did,
is...
who wrote that is the head writer for Ninja, so...
Yeah, but no, that entire V Cinema was a giant, big middle finger to Toei, Bandai, and TVSI.
So I wonder if, like, you know, at some point in the first quarter of the series or something, they got notes back. Well, what if you made the series go in this direction, and, you know, that didn't go through, and they're like, hey, remember when you wanted us to do this? Guess what?
Well, I'm giving you the producer was on GoBusters It was Takebe, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She pretty much will always do exactly what Bandai wants.
Yep.
So there is no doubt that what Go Busters started out as is exactly what Bandai was wanting at the time.
And then it didn't work out for them.
Yeah. Poor Go Busters. Go Busters still turned into a really good series, but it sure had its trouble getting there.
But Takebe made up for that with Gaim, but I guess Gaim was also exactly what Bandai wanted on it, but it actually worked that time.
Well, because it's Rider and not Sentai.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I hope Ninja's enjoyable.
God, I hope so.
There's so much visually that I want to enjoy now.
I would hate for a Star Ninja's design to be wasted on a terrible series.
Right. I don't want it to be Ghost Ager again.
Yeah, but Ghost Ager doesn't even... I don't really think... I never even thought Ghost Ager really looked cool, even to start with. That's not a retroactive thing. It's like, the costumes never really sold me, even.
We don't really have any major warning signs for Ninja right now. The crew is talented enough. The cast seems okay.
But here's a question. What is a warning sign for Sentai?
Writer, director? Designs?
Yeah, but...
Big thing he worked on was O-Ranger.
Sakamoto.
No, Riku Sanjo.
And Sakamoto.
I think Sakamoto with a good rider would have still
Sakamoto,
been... Sakamoto with
fine.
A shorter leash and with a good rider, you get Forza. Sakamoto with Riku Sanjo as the head rider and no leash, you get Kyoryuger.
And drive.
And, well, Sakamoto's not drive, though. Right? No. The fights might have actually looked decent instead of kind of boring as hell. Say what you will, at least Sakamoto's directorial style is interesting, even if it doesn't always work, such as the parkour cam and Ultimatum.
I'll agree with the Riku Sanjo thing.
Yeah. Right now, Riku Sanjo really has to churn out something that is actually really good. Again... Because the goodwill from Double is
he's kind of in no way.
Yeah, he's
one good thing.
Yes,
or
in no way did
maybe.
More than one good thing. But
yeah, in no way had Jetman and Agito. That was two good things.
Yeah,
and in
not
way,
all of Agito was his though, right? I mean, not all of Jetman. Didn't he have help there?
He was the lead writer on both.
He was still the head writer. Oh, okay. It was still his own child. And let's say, you know, he did incidental episodes here and there for Sentai and whatever through the 90s and still did well, but it's just, you know, once they kind of just took the leash off of him after Agito, it just.
Yeah, then you got Ryuki episode final.
And Fize.
Yeah. And Fize.
Yeah, but Ryuki episode final
and
was really
the other
like
half
the
of...
big. It was really the big danger sign.
And the other half of Hibiki.
Yeah.
And Kiva.
Kiva wasn't that bad.
And,
like, of the
by
things,
comparison
way,
or just overall? Cause...
Of the things Inoue did after Agito, Kiva's probably the least bad thing he did. It was the thing I could actually watch without, like, you know, sadness at life and existence and liquor. Really, there's just no helping Fize.
No. Takumi was good in the Rider War, though.
With his post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah.
That's because someone else is writing him.
And
Yanomura's
constantly going over how much of a asshole Kaiza was. Yeah, he was a creep. Yeah, he was an asshole. He was a creepy asshole.
But...
There's not a butt. There's not a butt. Except Kaiza, he's a butt.
You know, that's kind of the sad thing. Fize's setting easily could have been saved if someone else had written it.
Like, Fize looks really cool, but again,
I'm not even that big on the suit designs, but
I really like the Fize.
It's all about the gear voice.
Yeah, the gear is great in general, but I'm not really into the suits, really.
I like the suits a lot.
Well, you and Don can have a nice big conversation about that because he likes the suits too.
Oh, I hate the suits. What are you talking about?
Well, on that note, let's take a break.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Summon the help of the Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers from a faraway galaxy. Alien Rangers, the future of Earth depends upon your interplanetary powers. We need your help.
Don't look now, Master Vile, but the Alien Rangers have summoned their mighty battle forms. And the evil plan you hatched is about to be foiled. You'll wish you've never been touched.
Alien Rangers and battle forms from Bandai.
No one back yet?
I didn't leave. XV must still be squeezing turds out of his butthole.
Which is different from this, how?
Well, it's more like jumping on a tube of toothpaste, but the tube of toothpaste is filled with poo.
So Colgate is what you're saying.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites. You, your friends, and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails. You, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
All right, so are we going to just fart around or are we going to cover this last nonsense?
Why can't
can
we do both?
There's a difference.
Well, Paladin, I think you just volunteered for summary.
Oh, motherfucker.
I'm leaving that one in, by the way.
Oh, we started again. Okay.
So Power Playback this week kicks off our Black Ranger History Month. And actually, if you think about it, Tokuger kind of plays into that, too.
It does. Huh. Oh, nice.
Strange coincidence, that.
Yeah, it's so, not like that was part of my plan at all.
What I learned from the first episode of Black Ranger History Month is that Black Rangers are really boring.
Well,
this episode was really boring.
Adam.
Yeah, it's not a new revelation that Adam was fairly boring. That's not really a new development.
It's a case where I like the actor more than the character because they didn't give the actor anything to work with.
Yeah.
Pretty much like, yeah, there's point where, yeah, he's really doing a good job of being confused.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Basically,
that's the only range he is given.
Basically, if you want to see Johnny Young Bosch act, you basically have to go to anime because he sure doesn't get a chance to empower.
Oh, where he uses his two voices.
Yeah, but he still does them well. It's not a matter of having different voices; it's how you use them.
Right. Yeah, that's what she said.
Well, he's a good voice actor.
She was just trying to make you feel better, Ken. So our first Black Ranger
isn't that what prostitutes are supposed to do?
Our first Black Ranger History Month episode is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 3's Passing the Lantern, Mustard Torch. And that's why Ken's not doing the summary.
Also,
because it's been a while since Paladin has done a summary.
I literally napped before the show thanks to this episode.
See, Paladin shouldn't be so happy about not having to do summaries for a while because then he just gets on the schedule for summaries for weeks at a time to make up for it.
He gets on the schedule for summaries we don't want to do.
I should be prepared for the rest of the month, then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. We have Kaku Ranger.
Oh, yes, it's true.
Doesn't matter. What is that? Oh, somebody's playing the episode. A little too loudly. Good job.
Is it Paladin?
Probably.
No, mine's on mute.
Now.
Doy.
Doy.
So So, the episode starts off when Adam walks into the juice bar carrying a paper lantern he stole from somewhere.
I have a different theory as to its origin, but that can wait.
Oh, theory.
We know where it ended up.
Because apparently this is some kind of spiritual bullshit that belonged to his family or something.
I like how you call his family's heritage bullshit.
Well, it's about as respectful as the episode is to the concept in general, so it does sort of fit.
Or Asians in general.
Well, that's what I was referring to as the concept.
Yeah. Speaking of, yeah. Like, the only thing I remember from this episode, really, is Bulk's casual racism at the beginning here.
Also, speaking of respectful, there's a lot of David Yost in this episode.
And virtually no Kimberly.
Yeah.
It does make it a little bit more bearable.
It was a strange time in Power Rangers.
It was.
Paladin, absolute silence has been achieved. You can go on.
Sorry, my mic got unplugged again.
How long were you talking before?
Only once, actually.
Oh.
I was going to say, isn't this when they were basically prepping Kimberly to leave because they mentioned that competition shit thing she's supposed to be in later?
Right, this was when she told them she wasn't going to do the show anymore.
And she's just randomly not very much in a bunch of the season 3 episodes before they actually finally get rid of her.
Right.
But yeah, pretty much they started writing her off.
Right after the five-parter.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, this episode, was it 4?
Well, heck, they even kind of started doing that with the Masked Rider crossover because they just...
Yeah, she didn't go.
Like, yeah.
No, but anyway, so like...
Walker scene separate.
So after the season opener, which was multiple parts... Passing the Lantern is the second episode after it. The first one is the one that establishes Kimberly's,
right,
like, major presence for the season up until the point when they actually write her out.
Right.
So that's
she
where
shows
we're
up,
at.
She shows up every couple episodes for a few minutes just to show that she's still in the show, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Which they may have all shot back-to-back on one day, for all we know.
Probably not too far off of that, because like, they could do a bunch of Command Center scenes all at once.
Yeah, it's better than what they were stuck with doing before the power transfer, which was going back to old alternate takes.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they squeezed a lot out of that stone, to be fair. Mm. At the same time, it's nice that somebody actually made an opportunity for a graceful exit.
Yes, that's true. I mean, they actually did make it
much better in comparison to the last ones.
Yeah, they actually made something of an effort.
Which also shows that Kimberly was smart enough to realize, if I want to make acting my career, I better not go pissing off everyone when I quit my last job.
Right. And yep, she did actually have jobs after this, so, you know.
One of the few.
Yes.
So, this is when Bulk and Skull come in to try and save the episode for a bit, but even they fail this time.
Yeah.
By telling them, do not try to read unless it's written in English.
Casual racism number one.
That's Power Rangers.
I don't know.
What the hell is up with Skull's earring?
It's a skeleton, because it's Skull. See?
It's attached to his...
It's a dangly skeleton.
Skull.
You know, I bet that doesn't conform to the dress code.
Well, there's no one there to check him right now, so he's getting away with it.
Oh.
And they're in the juice bar.
Lieutenant Stone was... Well, he had the whole episode. Lieutenant Stone was off that week, so... No supervisor. Obviously.
So, Lord Zedd is watching, of course, and he sends down Rito, Squat, and Babu to get the lantern. Just sending Rito because he wants to get away from him for a little while.
Probably the same with Squat and Babu, to be honest. Also known as, hey, they still have these costumes around. Let's do something with them.
Yeah.
And Adam and Billy walk to the one temple set they can afford to go to.
Okay, no, I kind of love this scene because of Billy in it.
Oh?
Because, okay, Bill's like, yeah, I know this guy who knows all about lanterns. I should take you to meet him. He might solve all your problems. And so they go there. And the guy basically just spouts off a bunch of fortune cookie nonsense.
Oh, also, I like that Billy describes him as having spent a lot of time in the Orient.
Yes, the Orient. Ugh.
Oh, God. 90s.
So basically, okay. I think the writers just had takeout for lunch one day and based a script off a menu.
Even for this point in the 90s, that is still pretty bad.
It is. Okay,
the best part is, though, is that, you know, Adam gives the dude his lantern. And the guy spouts off some nonsense, like lighting the way with a lamp and your soul, whatever. And then he hands it back to him. And Billy just goes, a sigh of like, God damn it, again. It's the most exasperated, yeah, I knew you were going to do this shit. Why did I even bother? Also, and here's Adam like, I'm sorry.
Are we
I
sure he was actually acting?
Not anymore, no.
I was going to say, that was just David Yost being himself, reflecting on his day's experiences on the set.
Yes. And then he turns to Adam, he's like, I'm sorry, nothing this guy ever says makes any sense. I've wasted your time. Let's leave. That's my favorite part of the whole episode. Just Billy just like completely just like going, ugh.
So then the Rangers meet up just as the Tengu come down to steal the lantern once again. Which means it's time for the first fight scene. In the ugly-ass ninja costumes.
Pajama time!
Not that bad. I mean...
They're comfy and easy to wear. Wait.
Yeah.
Shorts.
Those are shorts.
Well, they don't have the large plastic helmets.
Yeah.
They probably are comfier just because of that.
Yeah.
They look like they've
you
got
can
just
actually,
about as
and
much
they
range
can
of vision,
see
though.
Out of them.
And they can use stunt actors instead of the real actors to do their fight scenes.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is, like, the fight scenes using these costumes seem to be a lot more mobile and active than the fight scenes using the Ranger suits.
Yeah.
Well, again, they can see out of these.
Yeah.
It's more a matter of, I wonder if they didn't construct these suits to be a little bit more resilient.
Probably.
You know, more free-moving. With
probably
less risk
of easily damageable spandex.
Yeah.
Yeah, with less risk of crotch tears from, you know, the White Ranger suit actor who just can't stop.
Busting erections through the costume.
Yeah.
Pow!
I imagine these suits are not as flimsy as the movie costumes, but still.
I imagine they also didn't use the movie stunt actors.
No, the regular ones are probably a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Australian movie stunt actors were probably hired in Australia.
Oh, well, no wonder they were busting through the crotches of the costumes.
Yeah. Because those penises probably had, like, fangs on them.
Corrosive venom.
Yeah.
It's us goblins.
Okay, you go do that.
I'm on it.
I knew you wouldn't let me down.
So, Squat and Babu manage to steal every lantern from the temple, and as
well,
everyone...
Except for a few they destroy.
Well, you know, I do like their logic. If we steal all of them, they can't yell at us.
Well, that was sort of disproven a little bit later, though.
Well, yeah.
Well, because it's Squat and Babu, yes.
It seemed sound at the time.
For them, yes. It's good Squat and Babu logic.
But which thankfully...
Is not a...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that doesn't necessarily mean it's good Toku logic.
No.
But thankfully, Bulk and Skull are on the scene and decide to take the case.
Thankfully.
And casual racism number two.
It's the 90s. Forget the lantern and get a flashlight.
Yeah.
Screw your culture.
So, Rito stops to check the lanterns they stole and manages to throw away the only one that Zed wanted, which lands right in front of Vulcan's skull and nearly hits him in the skull.
Get it? Skull? Get it? Get it? Get it? Get it?
His repetition of that line is brilliant.
Get it? Get it? Get it? Get it? Get it? Get it? I can't do that anymore. I gotta breathe.
Please
don't. I don't think Skull ever got it, or Bulk ever got it.
Well, then where do you explain where Spike came from?
Skull. That Skull got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bolt didn't get it.
You said Bolt, though.
I said the wrong thing. I tried to correct myself, but apparently it was too late, and you we're going to harp on the mistake I made forever.
What show
that
are you on
again? That sounds about right.
How long have you known me?
Too long.
Yeah.
So, as Bulk and Skull are horrified trying to look up what to do about alien invasion in their junior police manual, Rito, Goldar, Rito, Squad, and Babu teleport away with the lanterns.
Yeah, Goldar didn't really do anything at all this episode.
I just
kind of
default to Rito and Goldar when I have to say that.
Well, especially when Bulk and Skull are involved.
Just like one entity.
They effectively were, I mean...
Yeah.
They were best buds.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, Rito and all of them teleport away, and Bulk and Skull start screaming, and you know, Bulk has the reasonable question, wait, why are we screaming? And Skull's all, we just saw evil space aliens use their something magic. What kind of magic was it?
Space magic.
Let's go with something magic.
Was it space magic?
I don't know. Let's go with it.
That sounds good.
Still, it's a completely reasonable conversation. You know, they're screaming because they just saw evil space aliens use their magic and, you know, vanish right in front of them. It's kind of upsetting.
A little bit.
Except next year they'll be living with Rito. And apparently that's just fine.
Yeah, well, they had a year to think about it.
Well, he wasn't using his magic to teleport then, so it's fine.
Right.
So, Rita finally gets sick of Zed's bullshit and summons the Lantera monster.
From somewhere.
Yeah,
well, one of the lanterns.
That's the voice of Jedi, isn't it?
Yeah, and Rail Spike in Robots in Disguise, the first one.
I thought so.
The first
one.
So, did
she have Finster make this lantern, or was it come from already one of the lanterns that already had, or?
They don't really specify.
She picked out a lantern. She probably made it from that lantern.
That seemed to be the whole point.
But can Rita do that?
Yeah, she made the impersonator monster.
Okay. That was later, though.
That was with a new wand that Zed had got her for her anniversary.
Right.
Maybe she just put it in front of Zed and said, shoot that.
Or did she just take the lantern to Finster and tell him to make a monster based off this lantern?
Or did she just take Zed's wand?
She took it to Finster and had him throw it in the oven.
She took Zed's wand when she got married.
Sad but true. She took it to Finster and had him throw it in the oven and out the other end popped the lantern monster.
So is Zed's penis chrome or is it just all stripped flesh and muscle?
Yeah, probably. What's really disgusting is the testicles.
Bearing some chrome steel. For you.
So as Bulk and Skull run away yet again, they alert the Rangers to the monster in the park. So, fight scene number two.
Now, first of all, why didn't the command center's alarm go off? Just, check the viewing globe. Oh, hey, there's a monster.
Maybe Alpha was vacuuming again.
That's kind of what I was thinking, actually. he tripped over the cable or something. Or they have Comcast and it was down at that moment. Their cable was out.
This is a really crappy-looking monster suit.
It's not good, no.
Like, not even up to Kaku Ranger's usual standards good.
Okay, so let's look at this for a second, though. Like, the monster resembles the lantern prop that is Adam's lantern. And obviously they got that lantern to resemble the monster. They wanted the lantern to look like the monster, but in the end, the episode does not use a lantern that looks anything like that to make the monster with.
Because reasons.
I guess. You know, it's kind of like having the pachinko machine monster in season 2, so they have to have a pachinko machine involved in the episode. It just seems like a lot of effort to no particular effect.
Yeah.
And so when the monster grows giant, they whip out the ninja zords, and then Ninjor comes in. Once again, someone trying to save this episode.
You kind of glossed over the whole thing of, you know, Adam's inner struggle, and
we're all falling asleep here. I gotta gloss over
the show. Kind of
shit.
Does too.
No, the show tries really hard to make that be a thing.
Does it?
But then kind of forgets it partway through.
Does it really?
It tries really hard. I didn't say it succeeded. But it was
all the
trying.
It does just makes Adam look really stupid, though. I don't understand what this means. I don't get it. Nothing makes any sense. Math is hard.
No, he's Korean. He's got to be really good at math.
No, it means he's really good at StarCraft.
Casual racism well, look, number three. I thought the casual racism was supposed to be from the episode.
But it's on topic.
That's kind of the sad part. And for better or worse, the monster manages to insult Ninjor, and then it's pretty much dead.
Yeah.
Ninjor is a dim bulb. Which is funny, because those lamps don't even have bulbs in them.
A reliable bulb, at least.
I really like the models they use before the Ninjazord assembles. But after it assembles, I kind of hate everything about these Zords. Because good lord, is this boring.
I like the cockpit set.
Well, especially when it comes to the Falcon Zord, that is just the laziest shit I have ever seen.
I don't know. I still think, you know, Winged Ninja Megazord is cooler than Falcon Zord cannons in the Shogun Zord's armpits.
No, I love that.
I mean, it might be more practical, but it's less cool looking.
I disagree. I think it's much cooler looking to have missile launchers coming out of your chest.
It's a good thing Ben wasn't working on this, though, or else the Falcon Zord's foot would be broken off.
Yeah. Oh, Ben. Such effortless destruction.
I wonder what we can get him to break off of Ken.
Is Ken even here?
I think he fell asleep. I don't blame him.
Ken can be me.
Smile, Precure.
Digimon.
Savers. No, Cross Wars.
I need either a price check on Register 4.
Mother freaking hell! Sorry, what?
What was the second season of Cross Wars?
The Young Hunters Who Leap Through Time.
Was that really what it was called?
That was really what it was called.
Wow. Why did you know that?
It really is awful.
Oh, that's terrible.
It really is.
In every way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, so the episode ends with Balkan Skull slipping on wet floor.
Because they have to fall on their ass still. Even after they brought the lantern back to Adam. Even after he stopped caring about it.
And then in the very end, Adam looks inside. Wait, Pier 1 Imports? What?
It's from Party City.
Is that what you were waiting for?
Yeah. It's not even a family heirloom. It's just some cheap-ass thing they bought at the store down the street.
His family hates him.
So yeah, that was passing the lantern. I think we should have passed on it.
Damn it, Ken. No reaction.
Probably ignoring you after that last one.
What, the Cross Hunters?
Or the grocery store joke?
You made the grocery store joke.
Your mom's grocery store joke. Yeah, season 3 sucks.
It really kind of does.
Some parts of it? Some parts of it are funny.
I mean, season 2 is terrible, but it's so terrible that it straddles the line between boring bad and entertaining bad.
Remember there was the episode in season 3 where JDF started acting like himself instead of acting like Tommy?
Oh, was that the election episode?
That was season two.
Oh, well, okay.
Although that's another good example. No, I was thinking of the episode with the eating monster.
Oh, I was thinking of the Zio holiday episode.
Oh, yeah, that too. But that was Zio, not season 3. Pay attention! Well, it's okay, because, you know, next week we'll go back to the source of Season 3's footage, at least, like, 5% of it. And we'll do two episodes of Kaku Ranger. That'll be great.
It's like Kaku Ranger month, isn't it?
Well, no, because we're going to be doing RPM at the end. I'm not sure how you would tie that to Kaku Ranger.
I wouldn't mind seeing that crossover, though.
Well, I say that because...
Next week, we would have four episodes?
Four? Oh, Dino Charge.
Yes.
Assuming someone gets it online.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
It's just a matter of finding it. No, see, like, getting it online from a TV broadcast is the easy part. Getting it off the Nick website, that's the trick.
Yeah.
But I know the trick.
That'll happen within a day when it airs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that won't be that much of a problem. Like, the private torrent tracker I use generally had Megaforce and Super Megaforce episodes up within 24 hours also. I have no idea why anybody cared, but they did.
Oh, if it airs, somebody encodes it.
You'd think that, but that doesn't really happen with everything.
That's what Formax does, though.
Formax probably doesn't have a TV capture rig, though, does he?
Nope.
Why not?
Never really came up, did it?
Nope.
Do you even have video in on your computer?
Nope.
Well, that would be the problem, wouldn't it? Because, like, if you just had, like, analog video in, you could record it on VCR. And then... This is supposed to be funny. Why aren't you laughing? I think Fort Max is too busy crying about the idea of doing that.
If I did have a capture card, I probably would have at least tried to do Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills when it was airing a couple years ago.
Is it on DVD now, though?
Yeah. But this was before the DVDs.
Do you have the DVDs?
No. I still don't have the second half of Cyber Squad yet, either.
Oh. Not even, like, rips of it?
Nope.
Huh. Well, that's surprising.
Yes, kind of that. I kind of forgot the DVDs existed.
Why don't you have the second half of Cyber Squad, though?
I have the first half.
Right, I asked why you didn't have the second half.
I kind of forgot the DVDs existed.
But Cyber Squad's worth remembering. I mean, Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters, I mean, that's understandable to forget, but Cyber Squad, you know. Second half is when they had all the mirrored fight scenes. It was hilarious and awful and great.
Wow, that is not worth that price at all.
How much?
Hold on here.
Can't you just read the numbers? Or do you need us to do that
for
you?
This is more fun.
He probably said that before actually seeing what the price was.
Wow.
So he's having to look up what it is.
Those costumes. Tits on a cracker. I've seen pornos that looked classier than that.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Mickey, have you been keeping up with the Next Generation Blu-ray sets?
No. Okay. I stopped at season 4 because I ran out of money, basically.
Ah. Okay. Well, darn.
I still have season 1.
This is true. Or season 2.
With racist Pulaski?
Yeah, we can tape Ken to a couch and subject him to high-definition Pulaski.
Cyber Squad is much more reasonable.
Oh?
There were 40 episodes of this show.
Yes.
Wow.
Shit, Cyber Squad's that cheap?
How much is Volume 1?
Let's find out.
Volume 1, $6.77.
Oh, snap.
Huh. Oh, they got the complete. They have the complete set of Street Sharks for $7. Also,
one thing that I will say is that at least for Cyber Squad Volume 1, the case has three paper and plastic sleeves in it, and those hold the DVDs. And the little sleeves smell like a permanent marker.
I remember you mentioning that when that came out.
And the cases are kind of weak too. I broke mine when I opened it.
Yeah, the Ultraman set they put out.
Hell, then that proves nothing because you break stuff almost as much as Kilby does.
That's a fair point. I remember what you did to your Gridman.
Uh-huh.
Well, you broke Gridman and then you broke the Samurai Cyber Squad case too. Maybe you just hate...
Matthew Lawrence just infuriates him.
Baby Dan Dan. It's just a song.
Maybe he was infuriated because it's not Tim Curry enough.
Say Tim Curry for us, Paladin. You haven't said it in so long.
That's a little.
But then Ken was talking over it and it's ruined.
Thanks,
that
Ken.
Is the theme of the evening.
Just doing my job.
It's okay, I'll dub a clean one in.
Tim Curry.
Dude, what's Super Inframan?
He is just below the visible spectrum. But better. No, seriously, what is Super Inframan? Well, he is red.
I don't know, it was on like a what's related thing. Here, let me link it here.
No, I know, I saw it in the.
I think I've seen
stuff.
That before.
Is it any
but
good?
I've never heard of this.
It's got pretty good reviews.
Kind of dumb, but there's a certain charm to it. There's a lot of fake explosions and shit.
The original mind-boggling, fast-paced monster mash. When the nefarious dragon princess invades Hong Kong and summons monsters up from the center of the earth for her army, Earth's meager defense team joins together to create Inframan.
It's a Hong Kong series by Shaw Brothers Studio.
With multiple powers at his disposal, including laser eyes and thunderball fists, he sets out to vanquish his enemy forever in the action-packed audience favorite that will have you cheering. Starring Danny Lee, Terry Liu, and Hap Wong, includes original Cantonese version with English subtitles and English dubbed version.
Heh, ball fists.
Thunderball fists.
Well, it's like the whole movie is available on Daily Motion.
Oh, well, that probably saves some time.
I'm sure I'll forget to watch that.
Probably so, because we sure aren't doing a power playback on that. So there's nothing to motivate you to remember. Or would that just motivate you to forget?
I don't know. I was kind of hoping it might be another Zborgar.
Probably not.
You can't get that lightning to strike twice.
I was going to say, Zborgar is like too much of a happy accident to be able to reproduce. Except for how he totally reproduced with the cyborg lady.
So what Kakuranger are we doing next week anyway?
27 and 28 or 28 and 29. I know 28's in there.
The two-parter with Jiraiya's guardian.
Which is?
Either 27 and 28 or 28 and 29.
Well, then.
Helpful.
Okay, hang on.
Extraordinarily.
Let's see. I sent out so few emails, it should be easy enough to track this down in my outbox. When did I send that? Ah, there it is. Conveniently titled Black Ranger History Month. 28 and 29 are what I put in the email. So I'm going to go with that. I think I still have copies of the episodes on my hard drive. I can check them before the end of the week. Or not, because I'll just forget. But good job whoever did the power playback tweet the other day.
Was it me?
I think that was me.
Ah. Then I retract my congratulations.
Yeah, I thought
I assumed
so.
I assumed it was Mickey.
Shit, no. You know better than that.
Obviously not.
I don't even remember what the password is for that Twitter account.
Me either, but it's logged in all the time on my TweetDeck, so I can use it whenever I need to.
It was logged in on my old phone, then I got a new phone, and, well.
Oops. Well, it's not really important, is it?
Time makes fools of us all.
Superhero time makes fools of us all.
All right. I think, let me see. Yes, that's our first Fort Max of the evening. Good job, Fort Max.
Yay.
And number two.
Keep making noises, it's gold.
Well, that was how I used to get stuff out of Ken. Just start recording all of his noises. Eventually you find a use for it. That's too forced.
Agito Rage?
No. Agito Rage was what it was turned into by someone else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was Smile Precure Rage.
Yeah. No, it was Despair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The final
it was that in relation to GoBusters' direction.
Yeah, so we find out that it was copying the Pretty Cure plot of the cards.
And what makes it even worse is that that show isn't even half as bad as what came last year. So, you know.
Even people I know who like Pretty Cure wouldn't watch Happiness Charge.
I tried.
How is the current one that just started?
Current one's actually pretty good so far. It has some really good fight direction, too. But, it got to, like, this train wreck sort of level where it's like, this is pretty much the worst thing in this franchise I've ever watched.
Did someone just fart into the mic?
Did Reich join the call?
Anyway.
It wasn't dark enough.
Did we lose Paladin again?
Yeah, I think he just passed out from Pretty Cure.
That farting sound was his soul escaping.
Yeah, out his ass. But hey, it's Paladin. Where else is it going to come out of?
Well, he could cough it out.
Well, no, more likely the back pressure from the coughing would make it come out of his ass. It's like if you got a bad case of diarrhea and you start sneezing.
So you heard about my weekend then.
Well, that's a good point, but... speaking of weekends, this coming weekend is Toy Fair. And RFC is going to be streaming live. And Paladin, you're going to be there on Saturday, aren't you?
Unless I get sick again.
No, you'll be
fine. This Saturday is also Valentine's Day, but since we're all such nerds, that's not what we're mentioning.
Right. Now, let's be real here, Mickey. I think Valentine's Day only applies to you.
Hey, there's like, self-love.
Like, even conceivably...
You can buy yourself chocolates, then jerk off.
I don't even like chocolate that much.
Then get yourself some roses.
I don't like roses.
I like how
you're gonna save some money that way.
I like how chocolate is the thing that he dismisses.
Hey, chocolate? No, chocolate costs money. Jerking off is free.
True.
Well, if you know the right person.
Wait.
Well, no, I think like your mom does cost a nickel.
Well, besides, you specifically brought up self-love. Now you're just changing the rules.
That's because I'm a rebel. I don't play by the rules.
No, but like...
And my jokes are poorly thought out and executed.
Well, yeah. No, but like for Toy Fair stream this weekend, like we've been kind of playing it up as, well, it's Valentine's Day, but it's not like you have anything better to do, right? We actually are kind of advertising it that way, so... Yeah.
Brutal honesty from RFC.
Well, it's not like, you know, sugarcoating it's going to make it any better.
This was your idea, wasn't it?
What?
Slightly making fun of the audience because they don't have girlfriends.
It was not my original idea, but I encouraged it.
I'm kind of surprised with that. It's not like Kilby to try and talk down to the audience.
Who do you think taught me to be a troll?
Patrick Stewart?
Technically, yes. So anyway, if you're listening to this episode of Superhero Time before February 14th, come join us this weekend for Toy Fair. We'll be doing some streaming on Sunday too with like more of the non-Hasbro places, including Bandai, for all the Dino Charge stuff we already know is coming this year, because that's how Bandai rolls. And there's our obligatory plug. tfradio.net/live.
Almost listen to the podcast on Stitcher. Right?
I guess if there's an audio version, it'll go up on Stitcher eventually. I don't know.
Or if you have shoes, you can listen to it on Skecher. I shouldn't mock our sponsors, should I?
They're not sponsors anyway.
Oh. Well, fuck them.
I think Kilby's got something going with Audible, but I'm not involved in that.
I didn't hear a thing about that. Oh, come on, that's a paladin level pun, and y'all both laughed. I hate you.
No, I was imagining you as Akiko.
Oh.
I didn't hear anything about this.
I could buy some green Crocs and slap you over the head when you come down to visit.
I nominate Ken. Like, originally I was going to say you should do that to Paladin, but he's not going to be actually visiting, so. After this conversation, he never will.
Can I just, like, mail Paladin a pair of shoes and have him hit himself over the head with them for us?
Probably. Yeah, probably. You know, Paladin, next vacation time you get, you should come down to Tennessee. Hang out with all of us.
Yeah, come in the springtime when the pollen's here. You'll love it.
Uh-huh. It's amazing. It's like yellow snow.
Yeah. It's so beautiful.
I got enough of that already.
Hey. Where do you think
Fort Max, you're always welcome here, too.
Yeah, kind of far to drive.
We need a big old superhero time party.
Yeah.
Where we can sit around the table and stare at each other in anger and hatred.
We could battle each other to the death.
Yeah. But what would our weapons be?
Sour cream.
Oh dear.
Ineffectual slapping?
Superhero time slap fight. Everyone loses.
Ow, my wrists.
I hope that's clean enough for me to use as an intro quote. I'm sure as hell gonna try. So I think that'll be our show for this week.
Hooray.
Because we can't do anything better than that. Next week we have a hell of a lot of things to talk about, apparently, because I've planned this really poorly. See you then!
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Hopefully there's no news this time.
From Toy Fair, or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, God! Good job! You are the best planner.
I really fucked this one.
Oh.
Oh, man. What have I done?
You know how long we were talking about the first episode of Dino Charge?
Or look this up, episode of Tokuture?
Look on the bright side, Fort Max. Maybe the second episode of Dino Charge will be utter shit and we'll go through it in 5 minutes.
Oh god, it's gonna be good, isn't it? Oh no!
We will be up recording until midnight.
Maybe y'all will be. I'm too old for that shit. I only passed out on the keyboard again.
Oh god.
Oh no!
スーパーヒーロータイム、次回もよろしく。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.